Fine. So we have been talking until this point about the combination of basar v'chalav in a variety of ways and all of the different gezeros derabanan and cautions and minhagim and the like that we try to do to keep basar v'chalav separate. The conclusion of which was really being concerned about things being left behind that are dirty, residue, things of those like. But everything that we have been talking about has been assuming that there is some sort of actual physical remnant of the basar b'chalav that remains. And that is what we are concerned about. Now, we're going to kick it up a notch. Now we're going to talk about ta'am. We're going to talk about taste. And the reason that it's going to be significant to talk about taste is because that's the first step in beginning to discuss anything that has to do with what we call blios. Now, the absorptions in the kelim, which is really why we're going to need potentially separate kelim. Because as we spoke about last time, when it came to things that were cold, it's all a beautiful minhag, but it's really all based on minhag that there needs to be any separation between the meat and the milk. But if it was not true that there was some sort of absorptions that we were concerned about, there would be no reason that we have to have double kalim of everything. So the first step is what's called, it's on page 116 over here, is what's called ta'am ki'ikr. I'll just tell a funny story once we have it. So I was probably 17, I think so. I was in there by Saks this year in NYU. And it was a pretty advanced shiur, and he gave an entire shiur on Ta'am Ki'ikr, and I look at my notes and I kept writing Ta'am Ki'ikr, like Ta'am Ki'ikr, like, I'm like, I finally like go over, I'm like, what does the taste of bread have to do with anything? It's like, did you understand anything that I said? I was like, clearly not. So it's not Ta'am Ki'ikr, even though it sounds very good. Ta'am Ki'ikr. The ta'am of something being like the ikar. And the question is really this, just to put it in physical terms. If I would take a piece of iser, so let's say I take a piece of pork, right? Real chaticha of iser, and I would somehow be able to squeeze and separate the flavor from the piece. So the piece is still in my hand, but there is some sort of tam, some sort of flavor that has been removed. Is that usser the same way that the thing itself is usser? And assuming that it's the same size, it hasn't lost in terms of, it's not that way, you know, you got the liquid out of it, so maybe it's part of the mamashus. There's some sort of flavor that came out of it. Is that flavor usser the same way that the ikar is usser? And I could probably give you a logical svara in either direction, right? And one hand, there's the, of course it's usser. Where did it come from? It came from the piece of isser. The alternative is the Torah says that this piece is usser. This isn't that piece. It happens to be that flavor gets out. The example that the Torah gives is probably an easier example for us to follow. So the Torah is not talking about Ta'am Ki'ikr, but from a halacha that exists in the Torah, the Gemara wants to derive the concept of Ta'am Ki'ikr. So you look in the source number 6 over here, by Midbar Vav Aleph Gimel, we are talking of all things about the parsha of Nazir. Nazir, parsha's Naso. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Limor Dabel B'nei Yisrael V'amar Ta'a Lihem Ish O Isha Ki Aflil Ndor Nedir Nazir L'Hazir Hashem. If a man or woman decides to take a vow of Naziros to Hashem, this is one of Rav Schechter's questions that he likes to ask on the entrance Bechina into his Kolel. Can a woman become a Nazir? And you know, the guys sit there and start like quoting, like, you know, Mishnah over here in the Gemara. He goes, it's a Pasuk in Chumash. The Pasuk says, Isha, Isha. He sometimes likes to catch us on the obvious things. So, Isha, Isha, that's an important trivia question. A woman can be a Nazira. It's a Pasuk in Chumash. What does any of that have to do with what we're talking about? The next Pasuk. Miyayin v'sheichar yazir. He has to abstain from wine and shechar. Again, we use shechar as beer, but it means your aged wine. Chomet yayin v'chomet shechar lo yishtar. Even if it turns into vinegar, right? So it ages either what we call too much, or it ages to the point where it ferments more and it becomes vinegar. V'chomishras anavim lo yishteh, v'anavim lachim v'beishim lo yochel. So you can't eat the well, we'll get back to the mishras anavim in 1 second, but you can't have the fresh grapes or dry grapes, so not just wine, but the grapes as well. And you can't have mishra, and that you can't eat, but v'chomishras anavim lo yishteh. You're not allowed to drink mishras anavim. What is mishras anavim? So mishras anavim is if you leave the grapes in water, it changes the flavor. It's like the you know those fancy spa waters, right? You have the you know the pieces of the grapefruit and the mint, you know, all those things going in, right? Those things. Or the more obvious example, like that's really what tea is, right? Tea, the real tea, not like you know the tea bags, but like if you take you know that the leaves and the mint leaves, all these things, and put them in. So the leaf is the same, but what comes out? So sometimes some coloring comes out, whatever that is, and flavor comes out. So I don't know. Without the pasuk, what would I have said? What would I have said? Would I have said that a nazir is not a? Is that wine? Is that grape? We could probably call it a grape product. A grape product. But it is different than the item itself. Juice. Well, grape juice is the squeezed grapes. Here again,
it's different. Though.
Yeah, exactly. Right. This is further removed.
Why is
further
the color from the flavor? Why isn't the color the flavor? When you take tea bags and you put it in hot water, the flavor that comes out.
I'm perfectly fine not separating the two. I don't believe scientifically that's correct.
Oh, is that wrong?
I think they're two different things, but I could be wrong.
If you put mint leaves in. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily turn a different color, but you could definitely taste it.
I think it just depends on the particular.
Give you one for instance.
You're right. I don't know exactly what it is.
Your example about the pork.
Well, let's stick to this one for now, and then we'll get back to it. Let's start with this one. So this one, right, one step at a time. So the pasuk in Chumash teaches us that if you soak the grapes, the nazir is not allowed to drink it. So says the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Emdalad Amud Aleph next source. Disanya, we learn in the Braisa, Mishras, the fact that the Torah says that you can't have that which has been soaked in the water of the grapes, Litein Ta'am Ki'ikar, that teaches us that Ta'am, that the taste of something is like the thing itself. Shim Shora Anovim B'mayim, right, just make sure that it's clear exactly what we're talking about, the Gemara elaborates, that if you soak the grapes in water, v'yesh bohen ta'am yayin chayev, right? And it has the flavor, then you're going to be chayev, the nazir, for having eaten a grape product. Now, if you just soak it and there is no flavor, then there's no reason that should be usur, right? You don't have ikar and you don't have ta'am. So, just because they happen to have touched at some point, that's not a reason to say that it's usur. But the Chiddush is, again, what the Gemara derives from the Pasuk, is that, and then the Gemara is going to see in a second, as it says right now, Mikan atadon l'chol ha-Torah kula. And this becomes the source for the entire Torah. Theoretically, could one have said, oh, maybe it's a Chumrah of Nazir? We might have been able to see that, but the Tanoim clearly did not understand that way. So that is the yesod that the Gemara is teaching us is that you have if you have something which is usur, then the ta'am of it is usur as well. So yes, squeezing the piece of meat might be a bad example because then there's going to be liquid and other things that come out of it. But if somehow you had the pig in this part of your pot, and kosher meat in this part of your pot, and they cook together, and they don't actually touch, and you're not eating this piece of pork, do you have anything to be concerned about? Only because of tam ke'ikar, right?
Steam and everything. I mean, you heat it together.
But if the Torah had only asserted the thing itself, I'm not eating the thing, right? Everything you're saying is true, but it's built on this. This is the foundation for everything that we're concerned about outside of actual meat and milk. It was all based on Tom Kiker, Right? That's why this is our building block moving forward to anything which isn't the ikar. But the time itself is going to us. So now, if the taste, if the flavor goes from that piece of pork into my piece of meat that's here, then my piece of meat is now usser. The rules of bittul v'getul, that's the fancy stuff. But again, the only reason we need to come on to all those questions about nullifications is because we are assuming that the flavor is usser also. And then, again, without the pasuk, it's clear that I would not have said that. Right? Sometimes it's important to step back for a moment. Had the Torah not been mechadesh it, then I would have said that the pig is usser, the piece is usser. This isn't the piece. There's flavor there. Okay, who says that the Torah ushered the flavor?
The case of Mishra Sanovin is different than the case of Tom Kikar because
You can say it's different than my case. It is a case of Tom Kikar. The Gemara is saying it is the paradigm of Tom Kikar. So if you want to say that my case is different, that's okay. But it can't be different than Tom Kikar because it is Tom Kikar.
But there's no mashmashas there. It's just a flavor, right? As opposed to Mishra Sanovin where there are two substances that are actually coming in contact. And
what do you mean? Again, the flavor is being absorbed into something else. It happens to be, in that case, it's into a liquid, but it could be, why can't it be into a solid? Or alternatively, the water. I decide to drink the water after the pig has been steeping in the water, and now my water tastes like bacon, I don't know, whatever pig tastes like. That's going to be also.
It's no different than Mishra Sanovim if you have a piece of...
Right. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Right. Exactly what the Gemara is saying.
But I have a question. That is Mishra Sanovim, halacha, different, let's say, than the actual grape juice? Is grape juice considered...
There are discussions in terms... The answer is that in terms of an Issa d'Oraisa, it's not. In terms of figuring out punishment, in terms of a shear of Isser and things like that, it may be that it's different. But for our purposes, which again, in terms of understanding that the tam, the taste of something, is Usser, just like the thing is Usser, it's going to be the same.
Is there anyone in the Gemara Pesachim, any Amora in the Gemara Pesachim that disagrees and says that it's only by Nazir?
The Gemara does offer alternative sources for the same halacha. I mean, there is discussion if maybe Tom Kikar is only Derabbanan by other things. Maybe Mishra Sanovim is unique. I think that's what he talks about on top, right? Right, according to many Rishonim, what did you say on top here? According to many Rishonim, we see from the fact that this principle is derived in the Psukim, that it's Derayso, and the Gura and his commentary on Shulchan Aruch state that this is the accepted halacha. Right, the Kaimel on Tom Kikar, number 8, Kimo Shkasa Parakim in the Psukim. Valkane Drasha, the Gemara is a full Drasha. The reason that the Gemara is saying is that because there may be those that disagree in terms of the scope of the Isser.
Is a Nazir Isser from Hana'ah
from a grape? Is a Nazir Isser from Hana'ah from a grape? There are Gzeros, right? The Lech Lech Amrin and the Nazira, we tell the Nazir not to walk into the... But again, if you mean Hana'ah in terms of if is the Nazir allowed to invest in a winery? I think he can.
There was no taste. Only the coloring
that
came out of the grape, and no
or smell.
Oh, it benefiting that way. Right. That might be included in the lech lech amrin and the nazira that we keep the nazir far away. But again, in terms of a formal Isser Hana'ah, I don't believe there is. Okay, so again, this is the building block upon which everything else is now going to stand. So he writes over here, right? According to this principle, even a small element of flavor absorbed is still halachically significant, even if the original food has been removed, right? So let's take the pig in the liquid. I take it out right now, but it tastes like flesh. This water has Isser in it. This water has Isser in it. And potentially, if there was another piece of, again, we'll talk more in the future, Mirtz Hashem, about how the heat makes things move around, not scientifically, but halachically, how it makes things move around, that if the taste is still in there, then it's going to be usher like the thing itself. And even if you take it out, and if the flavor comes from a non-kosher food or from meat that was mixed with dairy, it can only be nullified in the amount, if the amount is so minute that one cannot detect the taste at all. So now we get to the next question. If it's true that the tam is going to be usser like the ikar, so when it comes to the ikar, it's easy to see when the isser is there and when the isser is not there. When it comes to the tam, it's not as easy. So at what point do I no longer need to be concerned with tam. And that brings us to the beginning of the discussion of bittul. Of at what point is it nullified and I no longer have to be concerned about tam. Now you might say, well, the easy answer is taste it. Right? Well, it depends what it is, but right. In this case, if it's the case, isser you certainly can't. Right? So you could maybe, the question about whether you could have a guy taste it, whether you would rely on the guy. Okay, there isn't questions in terms of nemanas. But theoretically, that's what we're looking for. Right? If you can't taste it, then what isser is there? The only reason that tam was usher is because it's tam. There is no tam. So it says the Gemara Mizvachim on Daf Ayin Tes number 9, Amar Rava. So Rava says Amar Rabbanan b'Taima, v'Amar Rabbanan b'Ruba. That the Rabbanan said sometimes it depends on the status of an item depends on taste, and sometimes it depends on rov, majority. Achari Rabim Lahatos. Okay, how do we distinguish? So it says Min b'She'eno Mino b'Taima. Min b'mino b'ruba. Okay. So the Gemara in Zvachim introduced us to two new concepts. Or it's one concept, but two different applications. The concept of the min, right? The same type of item. So min, one type of item, b'mino, means that there is a taroves, there is a mixture of two of the same type of objects. So you could have a piece of kosher beef and non-kosher beef. But they are the same objects. They are the same tam, the same flavor. That may be an important point. Right? There is a large discussion in the Rishonim. Well, how do you define the min of something? Right? If you have two different, if you have chicken and meat, is that the same min? If you have heter and iser, where exactly do you draw the line? So that's going to be a machlokas. But fundamentally, if you have min mishe'eno mino, that if you have a one type of item mixed in with a different type of item, then the iser is going to exist so long as there is tam. By min b'mino, though, it's only based on rov. Now, logic, why would we make such a distinction?
Because if it's
b'mino,
then the tam is the same.
Right? The tam is indistinguishable. Right? There's no way to know that it's tam of the usser piece of meat versus the other piece of meat. And the question is, and therefore what? Right? We could take that in two different directions. We could take that to be, and therefore it should continue to be usher because we don't know, right? Because I'm still tasting meat. I don't know if I'm tasting the taste of the iser or tasting the taste of the heter. Or we could say, well, let's go by other rules of bittul that we know. And we know there is a concept of bittul berov. As opposed to, right, and a majority is enough to be mevato something.
Does rove here mean 60 or?
Yeah. No, rove here means rove. Rove here means rove. Rove here means rove.
Don't we always say bishish?
Well, we're not paskining based on three lines of a snippet from the Gemara's Bible, the fine test. The actual code word for the shishim is the first one, is betaima, is that it's based on taste. Because as I was trying to pull out of you beforehand, right? The question of taste isn't really discernible because we can't taste it because if it's usser. So we have to be mishaer, we have to estimate, we have to come up with certain guidelines as to what point do we think there is not going to be any taste anymore. Shishim, 60 times, is a much larger percentage, an overwhelming majority than a simple majority. And therefore, what Rava is suggesting is that when there is tam, and when we're dealing with min b'she'eino mino, which means you should be able to taste it. So if you have, a piece of kosher beef and a piece of pig, then mistama they taste different. I imagine that pig tastes different than meat, and in that situation, so I can pull out the ikar after, let's assume they've been cooked together, because that's just easier for our purposes, that's usually how things spread. They've been cooked together. I can pull out the piece of iser, and now I want to eat my piece of heter, right? Why should I not be allowed to? I'm not allowed to because of tam ki ikar. So when should I be allowed to? If the tam disappears. When does the tam disappear? So that's what we're going to have to figure out. But again, the Isser is defined based on Tom. Yeah?
Is there a concept of Bitzel when it comes to Nazir?
Is there a concept of Bitzel when it comes to Nazir? Meaning if there is no Tom left, is it going to be Mutter?
Yeah.
I believe so, but I'm not 100%. I don't remember. But I believe so. What's the...
Oh, because the entire concept of Tom Kicker is based upon the Pusuk as it relates to
right.
the Pusuk of a Nazir, and they're extrapolating from that, and I was thinking it
right.
doesn't even apply to a Nazir.
Right. No, I think it should, but... Let's see. I think he does a good job summarizing it here on the bottom. So, right, so in a case of Mimbish She'eno Mino, right, where it's two distinct foods, that's a good word, distinct foods, right? Basar b'chalav is the easiest case, right? Meat and milk obviously taste different. There, the only slight difference is that it only becomes usher once they mix. Each one is heter separately, which is part of, you know, we spoke about a bunch of weeks ago, that maybe is part of the chiddush of basar b'chalav, and why we have all the chumras of basar b'chalav is because we're so used to being able to eat them because each one alone is kosher, and it's only the combination which is going to be problematic. Oh.
Can you explain one thing, going back to this?
I can try.
Min b'mino versus min she'eno mino. Min she'eno mino, it's a high threshold. It's a taste that has to shift over to the kosher piece. But in min b'mino, if it's just rove, if it's just 51.49, it seems like a very light, much lighter threshold. 51.49, it seems like it's going to be a situation where it does take the taste on compared to some, you know.
Right. Right. It would basically be saying that if the taste is indistinguishable, we're saying that it's not usser. Meaning that it's not usser as long as the taste remains.
Coming from.
No, not that it's not. That came out wrong. Let me say that. Not that it's not usser, but that since it doesn't stand out on its own, we can use the lower threshold to even. We only need technical bittul. Meaning. We don't sit there trying to figure out, you know, chemically, when is it no longer... We could have said that if we know that when it comes to min b'she'eno mino, we need shishin to get rid of the tam, so then you should need the same thing for min b'mino. Because I don't know which one I'm tasting, but I don't want to be tasting the non-kosher piece of meat. And I know that, let's say, shishin, which we haven't gotten to, but... is enough to get rid of Tom, so then maybe we should require that, even though I can't actually taste it. Right? So intuitively, I think you might have wanted to say that. We don't say that. What we seem to be saying is that the only thing you have to do is get rid of discernible Tom. And if the Tom is not discernible, then all you need is Bittel. We have a concept of Bittel Berov. And Bittel Berov is going to be sufficient. We'll see a little bit more about this. It should hopefully become a little bit clearer. It will not become fully clear because it's a bigger topic that's probably beyond just the scope of one night. But we'll let's see how he summarizes it down here. And then there's an opposite opinion, which I was alluding to before. So again, where two distinct foods are mixed together, the mixture is usser, as long as one could taste the forbidden food. But in the case of min b'mino, two foods that are like, for example, one piece of meat is kosher, another similar piece is not. So you have two skirt steaks. One happens to have been, come from a kosher animal. They all came from a kosher animal. One happened to have gone through a proper shechita, and the other one you got in Costco, and it was not shechted properly. Then the prohibited substance is nullified by the majority, since it does not contribute any distinct taste. So again, the isser of tam has to be that it is discernible, and there is a difference in terms of getting rid of it, in a like mixture versus an unlike mixture. But even if it's not discernible, you still need rov, right? You still need rov. Oh. Which might really tell you, because I see you're making funny.
It doesn't make any sense.
So let me try to explain.
It's just the opposite. If you have a piece of kosher meat, and then you throw in a piece of trade pastrami, okay?
Yeah.
That's going to take on the tam. So you're going to be able to tell. So why there would you not need, but where you have two, where you have a piece of meat that's kosher, a piece of meat that's trade.
Pastrami's harif. Let's stick to...
Either way, conceptually the same thing.
But the idea of it. Why two pieces that are identical, you'd think you'd need more.
Yes, you would.
Not less.
Right.
You think you need right. more because you, there's no way.
So, I think maybe the way to conceptualize it is like this. This might not be 100% accurate, but I think for now it might just help us, you know, conceptualize it. In terms of the fact that it is usher, a majority robe is enough to be mevatalit. Meaning, if you have, I'm a little afraid to say this, but we're going to say it. If you have three pieces of meat here, and two pieces are kosher, and one piece is not kosher, you are allowed to eat the meat. If it was poison, you would never, right? You wouldn't take your chances on it. The answer is that we have a halacha of bitul, and therefore, again, this is not a case. I'm just talking about what we call yavish biyavish right now. Only because I think it might just be simpler to extrapolate from that case. You might be eating the iser. There is an opinion brought down in the Rush from Reb Chaim Cohn, good old Reb Chaim Cohn, and he says that you can eat all three pieces as long as you don't eat them at the same time, with different details. You're vada eating iser, or somebody is three different people. There are different permutations. What's the pshat? Okay, so there's a lum de shabda.
Bittul, bittul. And the Gemara talks about it, that if you have three
yes.
stores, that
you find yeah,
the yeah,
middle.
Yeah, correct. No, the Rush is, but again, how you understand whether you can eat them all or not, that's not explicit in the Gemara. That's but it's all based on the Gemara. Gemara Ksuba and other places. So what? But what do you see? No, but you see.
Also, the question is, if you eat all three, the matam de misalei.
Well, if you're mutter to eat it, can't be matam de misalei. It's a function of iser, not a function of mitzius, I think. But either way, but what do you see?
So rove changes you see, the kashrus. It changes the.
So that's the right. That's the lom de shoyev sewing. That is right. It's nishapech lios heter. It turns into a piece of heter.
Right.
We don't necessarily have to say that. I'm just using that to sort of make it a little easier to hear. What you see is that whether you can eat it or not might depends on the halacha. It does not necessarily depend on the metzias, right? It does not just depend on the reality. So therefore, what the halacha would be saying here is that there's a halacha that you need rov. There's a halacha that you need rov. And really, rov should be enough even for min b'she'eino mino. What's the problem, though? You could still taste it. As long as you can still, the taste is distinct, then it's not sufficient to have rov. You have to keep going until you get rid of the tam. But when you have min b'mino, then you can't taste it. So the only thing you have to do is what we would call step one. So you need to have that rov to get rid of the iser in the sense of the majority. But there's nothing that you have to do further, because nothing stands out. It's again, it's almost the opposite way of looking at it, but I think conceptually it makes it a little bit easier to understand what we're talking about.
You'd mentioned that that there was a machlokas about whether or not, you know, what is considered to be min b'mino, what's not min b'mino.
In terms of defining it, yeah.
It seems to me the entire
threshold based on Tom.
It's just
good.
Taste.
Good. That might be true. Yeah. No, that's a logical conclusion. That's a logical conclusion. But again, it doesn't have to be, because you know, which question are we asking first? Is it min b'mino, or are we asking if it has tam? Meaning you might be able to have a case of min b'mino that let's see the next source, and maybe it will become clearer. But again, this is going to take us some time. But
the
that's
problem
fine.
With practical halacha is you're never going to know about the tam. Because it's totally...
Relax. No problems. We're good. Right. Says the Gemara. Number 10. Says the Gemara. Rav Shmuel Darmi Tarvayu. Rav Shmuel say, Kol Isurin Sheva Torah. All prohibitions in the Torah, B'minan B'mashehu. If you have a mixture of two items of the same type, then if you have even a little bit of iser, it is going to aser the entire mixture. This is what I was trying to say beforehand. It's the opposite. It's saying that because you have min mino and you can't discern the tam, there's no bittul. There's no way to get rid of it. As soon as it mixes up, you can't get rid of the tam, and therefore we go to the opposite extreme, and it's going to completely be aser. Completely be aser. Shelo b'minon, if they're different tastes, then b'no sin tam. then it depends on flavor. That's Rav and Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lagash, Damer Tavayir, Kol Yisur and Sheba Torah, Bein Beminan, Bein Shelo Beminan, Bein No Saint Tom. So right, we've had every option right now. And again, let me just Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lagash say that when it comes to Yisur and the Torah, whether it is the same mixture or a different mixture, it's going to be Aser based on No Saint Tom. But you can't taste it when it's Bein Bemino. So the answer is you're going to have to use whatever calculation we use in terms of min b'she'ein amino, we're going to carry it over. But what we've seen is three possibilities when it came to min b'mino, because that's really where the struggle is. Right? When it came to min b'she'ein amino, if you want to say that it's based on tam, that's all you have to do, is just figure it out. So yes, the easiest would be if somebody could just taste it and then we would know. So we will have to come up with a formula to figure out what the equivalent is to get rid of tam. But when you get to min bimino, and you can't discern the tam, but our concern is tam ki'ikar is the tam, now I'm stuck. What do we do? So we just saw really three different options, right? The Gemara on the Gemara in Zvachim said, okay, so just go based on rov. And as soon as you have a rov, you're good enough. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said, you do this, you treat it the same way that you would treat the tam of min b'she'eino mino. You just carry it over.
How do you do that?
Whatever, if we're going to come up with a shear, because usually you can't taste it, so we're going to have to be koveya. We're going to have to establish what the shear is. Won't shock anybody, the shear is shishim, right? It's 60 times. But again, that's what the shishim is trying to accomplish. Then you just carry it over to min bimino. And Rav and Shmuel go to the opposite extreme and say, you know what? You can't have bittul. There is no bittul in a situation when it is min bimino. So we really have all of the options within min bimino. Min bimino. But all of this is built on the assumption that tam is going to be usser, just like the thing itself. So he points out over here that the Ran says as follows, we can just see the Ran. Says the Ran. So the Ran is a little bit bothered. What's he bothered by? He's bothered by Rava and Zvachim. How can Rava and Zvachim, again, Rava technically is entitled to an opinion, but not everybody's entitled to an opinion, but Rava certainly is entitled to an opinion. Well, how could Rava just say that it is Rava doesn't fit with any of the opinions over here? It doesn't fit with Rav and Shmuel, it doesn't fit with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So the Ran tries to resolve, and he suggests that Amar Rabbanan Beruba, when the Rabbanan say that it just needs Rav, which was, again, that's a quote from the Gemara in Zvachim, in number 9, right, that Rava said, when he said it's just Rav, by Mimimino, that he, Parshinasa Mimimino Beruba, Hani Mili Midoraisa. That's Midoraisa. From the Torah, since the Tam is no longer discernible, why is the Tam not discernible? Because you can't taste it, but you have a majority, you're allowed to go on the majority, Midoraisa. Midoraisa by Mimimino, because it's not discernible. Avo Midorabanan, but the Rabbanan said, Bein Shinesarif Gufo, Vinivla, Bein Shein Shamel, Pleitoso, whether it's the Mamashos and you can't get it out anymore, right? Sometimes you cook something and the meat just disintegrates. And now it's just part of the food. You can't get it out anymore. So what kind of, if you can't pull it out, you have to be Mevatal it. If you have that possibility, you have to discern if there's Bittul or not. But here is going to be shishim, like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan.
That would be a universal idea.
The shishim,
Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, also that it's a daraisa and midrabanan. They would also hold the shishim.
No. He's just trying to explain that's how Rava understood.
So Rava was the outlier on that, and he.
Could be, yeah. Could be. But again, what the Ran, I don't know why he chose to pull it out this way, but what the Ran also told us the best thing is that the shear for Tom is shishim. I don't know if he gets to later where we know that from or not. We can just, I guess we could just say it now, but it's based on the Zroa B'Shelah. The Zroa B'Shelah is the korban of the That means the cooked zroa. The korban of the nazir, the animal is cooked even with the parts that are going to be forbidden. So the question is, how are the parts that you're not allowed to eat be able to be cooked together with the parts that you are allowed to cook? Isn't the tam going to spread? So the Gemara figures out that in terms of the size of the animal and the like, that there is this concept of bittul, and that is sufficient to have bittul. Normally we don't do bittul. Okay, the Torah says to do it, so it's not a problem, right? We don't try to be mevatel things, so we wouldn't put them normally together, but if the Torah allows it, the Torah allows it. So now, how is all this realize itself in Shulchan Aruch? So says the Shulchan Aruch like this, Yerdeya Kuftes. Now Kuftes is actually, now we are entering the realm of Golav Taroves instead of Basar B'Chalav. They're in the yeshivas, there's always a machlokas, whether you learn Basar B'Chalav first or whether you learn Taroves first. Basar B'Chalav is what we've done really until now. Taroves is when it comes to the mixtures. In the order of Shulchan Aruch, Basar B'Chalav appears first, followed by Taroves. But it's one of these catch-22s that you can't really understand Basar B'Chalav without Taroves, and you can't really understand Taroves without Basar B'Chalav. So there's no wrong or right way to do it. You kind of just need to learn everything, as is usually the case. Okay, so it says the Shulchan Aruch over here, Chaticha She'ina Ruya Leis Kabed. Well, we're not going to define that for a moment, but a regular piece of meat, Shenis Arba Ba'acheros, and it gets mixed up with other pieces, Min Bimino, Yavesh Biyavesh. Okay, so now we're talking about the example like I gave before, and where you have dry pieces, right? There is no transference of time. We're talking about the actual pieces. Chad betray batel, right? One is batel and two, meaning that's the smallest shear of the bittel. Two pieces to one piece is going to be batel. V'chol zekesh in isari b'mino, v'shalo b'mino v'inam akiro, afilu yavish b'yavish tzarech shishim. So the Rama has a chumra. And his chumra is that you can even have a concept of, of ta'am, when it comes to yavesh biyavesh, that if you can't recognize it, and one of them is aser, that and it's not the same min, it's different types of pieces, then you have to wait. You need shishim. Okay, why that is, we're going to leave for a second, but just I want to finish off with this because it's really going to catapult us into the next part of the sugya. Is now we can begin, as he writes like this, right? Now we can deal with the common mishap in the kitchen involving a pot, spoon, food, and fire, right? What happens if you mistakenly put a dairy spoon that was benyomo, we'll define that later, into a pot, into a meat dish that was cooking? So if you have your chalent cooking, and you put a milchik spoon in it. So again, there's one piece that that's still missing over here, which is the fact that that flavors don't only exist in foods, but they also get absorbed into pots and the like. So that's why you have a fleshika pot, because not only is ta'am asur, but ta'am also goes into the, and is absorbed into the walls of the pot. So if you have a milchik spoon, and you put the spoon into the fleshik pot, now what happens? So two things happen, right? Milchiks from the spoon, the ta'am of milchiks in the spoon goes into the pot, and the ta'am from the fleshik, whatever you're cooking, the chalent, go into your spoon, right? Because everything moves in both directions. So what's the problem?
There's a big difference in quantity.
Exactly. So it says the Shulchan Aruch, Hatochev kaf cholevis b'kader shabasa, if you dip in a milchik spoon into a fleshik pot, you look at how much was inserted into it. And what do you look for? If you have 60 times, because that's the shear of tam, the amount of the spoon that went into the pot, right? So the pot is going to be enough to be mevatel what went into it. So a little bit of milk from the spoon goes into your big chalent. You have 60 times the amount of chalent to whatever. Again, the amount of time is probably less, but we have no way to discern it. So we have to go by the amount of spoon that was put in, because we don't have anything else physical to base it on. So the food will be mutter. But now inside this pot, inside the spoon, what do you have? You have a mixture of basar v'chalav. So avalakaf aser ben basar v'chalav. Lefishib. I'm sorry. Akder medashim. Avalakaf aser. But the kaf, the spoon is going to be aser. Why? Benim basar benim chalav. Lefishib beluim basar v'chalav. Because now what is inside of the spoon? A mixture. What can you now use this with? You're not going to. You can't possibly have shishim corresponding to anything. So now you're walking around with a spoon that has blios, that has tam of both basar and chalav in the spoon. You can't use that spoon for anything. You can kosher it. But that spoon becomes oster. So again, even though each one contributed to both, you can have an opposite or different results. And the food is going to be permitted. The pot that the food is in is also going to be permitted. Why? Because that amount of milk that got into the food has to go through the food to get into the pot. And once the food is going to be mutter, so the pot is also going to be mutter. But the spoon, that's a separate point that it makes. If there's not shishim in the food, then now we have the food is going to be aser as well. And if the food is aser, the pot is also going to be aser. That is, I guess we'll call it example number one. But that is the beginnings of what we're going to have to sort through as we go through. I missed the early Marv, so I just want to make sure to get to the 9 o'clock Marv. But again, this is the basis. And as we understand and appreciate Tom Kiker, I think we'll be able to get through more details of the kitchen and learn some very, very interesting halachos. Yeshikoyah.